This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Networks. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Take a stand. Everybody. See live off the record with Shivago Lang is sponsored by CG Atlantic, Fidelity Bank of Bahamas, IRF Bank and Trust, and Rawstar Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z-Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful Monday afternoon. The echo stopped? Great, super. Thanks, producer. However that stops, maybe it's just me. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call today, the numbers to do so are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969, and that's the way my mother, Naomi Ruth Seymour, listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. Okay, today is tricky for me. Today is tricky for me, man. I ain't gonna lie to you. Okay, so, when I was at the College of the Bahamas, I served as president of the student government, COBUS, the College of the Bahamas Union of Students. I would have been preceded in that post by now, Her Lordship, Joyanne Pratt, and I would have been preceded in that post by one Cash, former senator, both of whom were extremely helpful to me in my sojourn in that environment. Joyanne Pratt actually recruited me to run for president, took me under her wings and recruited me, and I did win election, and Mr. Cash was a useful guide and even critic at times, but very helpful, helping me to grow and mature in that position. Things that was true in those days and in days preceding that and preceding it was that Fred Mitchell, who had long been a political activist and a political personality, but someone who took an interest in the views and development of young people. He would visit the campus, he would visit the presidents, he would speak to them and so forth and so forth. And even in his sojourn to different parts of the world, he would make it his point to visit with and speak to young people sometimes, treating the entire grouping to lunch or dinner or something, right? So Fred Mitchell became one of those personalities who any budding young leader in the country in those days would have seen, interacted with, and, been influenced and be influenced by. I had any number of conversations with him and always found him forthright. If he didn't believe a thing, he didn't believe a thing. If he believed a thing, he believed a thing. Always convicted about what he believed and the like. Could challenge you and be challenged by you and not, not think a thing about it. He and my mother had become very good friends as they developed their relationship in the Senate when she was there with him. And so I have a high regard for the passion that Mr. Mitchell has for the country, for the party he belongs to, for the causes that he serves, and so forth. I do. And, you know, he and I have over time had our own spars in public life. And on some occasions, didn't mince words either way. So he's a, you know, he is a pure politician. I say pure politician. I mean, he does not make qualms about the fact that politics is his interest, his pursuit, and his dedication. So, okay. I listened to Minister Mitchell, the member of parliament for Fox Hill, the chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party. And to be honest with you, I would pray this prayer today. I pray, Lord, let this cup pass from me. Because I'd rather not have to deal with this issue today. But you know, as Jesus prayed, not my will, thy will be done. On this show, I have tried not to flinch in the face of hard issues and tried not to carry water for family, friend, or foe. Tried not to be unfair to anyone. That has been my effort, my genuine effort. And so the Guardian's media crew, one of its hosts of one of its shows, I listened to Mr. Mitchell, Minister Mitchell's comments. He made some comments by way of WhatsApp clip, as he has typically done, you know, and his comments related to claims made by the leader of the opposition and the opposition, the Free National Movement, and their call for the resignation of Minister Alfred Sayers, claims about Candia Dames and her reporting on or writing on this story of Mr. Sayers's comments regarding his knowledge of what happened around the fuel hedge. Claims broadly about the Guardian and the Tribune, and they are doing the work of the opposition, Free National Movement. And then claims about the hedge itself, the program, hedge program, not being worth the paper it was written on. Now, let me first of all say this. Fred Mitchell is unapologetic as a chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party, unapologetic. And so as an unapologetic chairman, and to be quite frank with you, chairpersons of political parties should be fierce in their defense of their parties. They should be fierce. They should not be untruthful. They should not be misleading. They should seek not to be inaccurate in the things that they say, because they would lose credibility if they do that. But to the extent that they can spin a story in the favor of their party, that makes perfect sense. I mean, that's part and parcel of the political process where partisan political activity is at play. So I don't even, that if you want to spin a matter for your party, if the chairman of the PLP does it, if the chairman of the FNM does it, it's par for the course. That's not a problem for me. If you want to spin all you want, spin away. If the thing is gray and you want to call it maybe light gray, and somebody else will call it dark gray, but that's part of their political spin, carry on. As long as you don't try to convince me that blue is gray and green is gray, you're straight. But if you want to talk shades of life and shades, carry right on. So as an unapologetic political chairman, I understand some of the fervor from which the chairman comes. And he has been unapologetic that way. He defends the Progressive Liberal Party, and when he speaks to Progressive Liberal Party supporters. He is not even trying to speak to FNM supporters. He is not trying to speak to people who are opposed to PLV. That is clear. He ends those statements. He talks to PLVs. You have the facts. That's what he tells the PLVs. Well, what they have is sometimes his spin, but he tells it for them to have a story to carry. And you have to understand that about what he is attempting to do. Quite frankly, maybe the chairman of the Free National Movement must learn that too. Because your supporters need language to defend charges against them. They do. They need a story, not a lie, not a misleadings, not inaccuracies, but they do need a spin to carry their story so that they can have some confidence having to deal with what's coming at them. And the Progressive Liberal Party had a lot coming at it in the last couple of weeks. So I understand that political fervor. I understand coming from that direction. After all, I've been in politics. I've been in it a little while. I understand it. However, the boundary line for your spin. And there is a rationality test for your utterances. And there are people whose knowledge of things can test the veracity of what you say. And that's just part of life, right? So I wanted to delve into a few things Minister Mitchell said that I thought were unfair, if not inaccurate, representations of the truth, of the facts. I do. And those of you who will get upset, carry right on. This is life. FNMs called me when I spoke flatteringly about Mr. Brave Davis prior to his becoming president. That flattery, in fact, some of them said I helped him win the election. I don't believe that at any point, but I mean, that's what they said. So I am not unaccustomed to one side or the other being upset with or coming at me for some things I say. Only recently, an FNM called me to ask me why it was that Candia seems to have it in for them. So they asked me. And I had to indicate, have it in. I mean, well, does she then have it in for Mr. Christie when she would have put it on him, for Dr. Minnis when she would have put it on him? Like, what do you mean? Is she not a writer who writes? And she has a perspective, she provides a perspective no matter who the personality or the person is. You know, that was my observation of the matter. So when I heard Minister Mitchell come at Candia Dames as if she has been taking up the cause of the opposition, I have to tell you, my jaw dropped because I believe the Free National Movement would love to have a Candia DM take up its cause, because she sure, since Dr. Minnis was in office, or since they have lost office. Certainly Mr. Pinta, the leader of the opposition, can't say that Candia Deems has been taking up his cause. There's not a possible chance. Nobody, no objective observer of the facts can say that. None. It's absolutely untrue. Cannot say it. No one who can read the National Review or the Guardian's editorials could make such a claim. I thought it was unfair. I thought it was, really thought it not only unfair, I thought it was incorrect. It's just not an it's just not an observation that could be substantiated by evidence. Could not be. Okay? Secondly, to attribute that same kind, see, I can't speak for the Tribune because honestly, I'm not as intimately involved or knowledgeable of the Tribune, but to suggest that the Guardian is carrying the cause of the opposition? Wow. Seriously? Oh, boy. Well, listen to me, Guardian. Let me tell you something. If y'all are carrying the opposition's cause, y'all are doing a lousy job of it. Lousy job of it because you, the licks you're putting on the opposition, the commentary you make about the opposition and its work, so y'all need to do a better job if you are carrying the opposition's cause. You're doing a terrible job of it. You should be more consistent. You should be more deliberate. You should be more intense because you're not doing a good job of it. All right? So I thought that those claims were unfair. But against the backdrop of a political chairman making cause for his supporters to have some room to breathe in a terribly looking situation. Yeah, I can understand. An attempt to do that. I can understand an attempt to do that. But I couldn't leave such an attempt, not as a talk show host, unattended, because I just didn't think it was true or fair. I really don't. I don't think so. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break. I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Hey, Bill, glad to see you back in the office.
Who?
Bill.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I think you're mistaking me for someone else.
Tom.
Nope.
Jack.
No.
Alex.
No. Want me to just tell you?
Nope, I got this, George.
No, you don't. Still not me.
Adam.
Not even close, man.
We're like a coworker that didn't forget your name. CG Atlantic Agents and Brokers. Good like that.
Okay, good to see you, Mark Mike Johnson.
It's Mordecai.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316. 325-4316 or 325-4259. Just on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. I'm talking about comments that I heard. Nobody told them to me. I listened to them myself. comments by Minister Fred Mitchell as he sought to defend, as he ought, as he rightly ought, as chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party, and as a member of the cabinet, a colleague of Minister Sayers, as he sought to defend him against calls for his resignation by the leader of the opposition and others regarding comments that the minister made around the issue of the BPL fuel hedge. Let me say this, and y'all would have heard me say this on a previous show. I have not arrived at a place where I have in my possession sufficient evidence or information to say that Mr. Sayers ought to resign because he missed. I do not. I acknowledge that there are gaps in his explanation that might lead someone to be concerned about whether he was in fact being forthright on the matter, but I do not have the ability at this point to say, yes, he misled the parliament, because a misleading requires intentionality of deceit. It requires you to actually establish a person's motive for saying what they're saying, what they said. So what we do know is Mr. Sayers said something about the hedge he did not know or had not seen or was not requested to make a determination on it. He said that that was not the case at first. And then he came back later on to say, no, in point of fact, I was aware of it and there was a request made and so forth and so forth. Now, did he have knowledge of the fact of the request at the time? He said he did not have knowledge of that. You know, that's a different story because his memory failed him at that time. It's possible, right? It could be. It could be that, you know, he knew better but said something different. That could be too. But you have to establish that right now. For me, the only thing that bends in the direction of whether this was a question of lapsed memory or a question of deceit or misleading was like my own experience in government and dealing with matters would tell me that a matter like the hedge, having a conversation with a financial secretary, an exchange of emails with the financial secretary, and having a decision made by the financial secretary on such a matter that was in the public sphere with such intensity, I just don't see that lack, that failing my memory. I don't see it, right? But that has nothing to do with him, though. I am me, he is him. I don't know what's in his biology. I don't know what is in his mind because he can have a lot of things going on. So I don't know. So I can't make that leap to you deceived, you misled. Others can. If they have sufficiency of evidence, they can do that. Right? But I do, and I have said that the gaps have been profound around the explanation. And it ain't finished yet. So talking then about Minister Mitchell, I've dealt with my views of his claims about the Guardian and Candia Danes. I regard those claims to be unfounded. I regard them to be, in fact, without support, given the evidence that's in the public sphere about how the Guardian and Candia and those deal with both the opposition and the Progressive Liberal Party, right? I do not accept that that is a fair assessment at all. But I mean, that's me, Chicago Line. You know, no animosity existing between myself and Minister Mitchell regarding the matter. Just my take on it is that I do not agree. Secondly, Mr. Mitchell claims that the Guardian was untruthful about its asserting that Mr. Sayers did not inform the parliament about his review of his emails to then discover that his initial statements were inaccurate, but that the Guardian would not admit to that lie because the Guardian wouldn't want the truth to get in the way of a good story. Now, I'm with Station, and I have a show that I host on the Guardian's station. And I assure you, I didn't collaborate with the Guardian's press, Candia Dames, or Warren McCartney to arrive at a conclusion that I arrived at when I listened to the press conference and read the press release, the statements arising out of the press conference by Minister Says. Minister Says himself said that he had reviewed his emails and found out that he had been inaccurate about his knowledge of what had happened, because in point of fact, the email thread confirmed for him. He couldn't get this confirmation from a permanent secretary he wrote. He couldn't get the confirmation from the BPL he wrote. But he confirmed himself after he took time in New York to search his own email on his that he in fact knew of it, and that a conclusion had been arrived at between himself and the financial secretary about the matter, and that he did this. But he said, Mr. Mitchell says you don't want, that the Guardian didn't want the truth to get in the way of a good story. Well, similarly, I don't believe Mr. Mitchell would want anyone to say of him, he wouldn't want the truth to get in the way of a good story, because here's what is true. Mr. Sayers said, okay? In fact, let me read it. Let me read it for you what Mr. Sayers said. Okay, Mr. Sayers says, in the House on November 17, Sayers said he had recently spoken to the Financial Secretary, Simon Wilson, for clarification on what transpired relating to the BPL hedge transaction. He says, when the Honorable Member Pintad raised this as if we were in a court of law, responses were given, he said. Now listen to what he said. He said, I have checked with the Financial Secretary and I have confirmed with the Financial Secretary that the documents which were provided were also provided to the Ministry of Finance, and I'll be happy to lay the response of the Financial Secretary. He says, but when asked on November 21 about Sayers' comments in House of Assembly, hold on, let me make sure I read for you what Mr. Minister said. So I've checked with the Financial Secretary and I have confirmed with the Financial Secretary that the documents which were provided were also provided in the Ministry of Finance, and I'll be happy to lay the response of the Financial Secretary. It was considered and communicated that based on what was put to the Ministry of Finance, the proposal to execute the trade was not accepted and some questions were asked which were not addressed satisfactorily. But what the Ministry of Finance explained to me, Madam Speaker, is that any commitment of the hedge strategy would represent an obligation BPL was not in a fiscal position to assume that itself. Therefore, through the IDB and the Ministry of Finance, both of which have the requisite technical capacity, reviewed what was put forward and did not accept it. That was a determination by the Ministry of Finance. Now, if the Honorable Member were to put forward a question, the Ministry of Finance would prepare the answer and provide the answer. Sayers said the draft cabinet paper is addressed to the Minister of Finance for the Minister of Finance's consideration. The Minister of Finance communicated that based on what was presented, it was not supported. that determination was communicated in October 2021. But when I asked in November about Sayers' comments in the House of Assembly, the Prime Minister says, I saw in the documents about that. Only this weekend I was provided with some information concerning that, which I am now assessing to determine all the misstatements about what actually went on. What I do know is that the Financial Secretary had some views and so forth and so forth. Now, here's this is the background leading up to the press conference that day, right? So this is Mr. Sayers' comment. When I found that email trail, listen to this is Mr. Sayers. So again, Minister Mitchell says that Mr. Sayers, at his earliest convenience, corrected the record. And he challenges the Guardian and those because he says they suggested that he never put that matter before the House Assembly. Well, that wasn't what the Guardian said. Hadn't said put it before. He hadn't said anything about the email trail before this, because this is Mr. Sayers speaking now. He says, what I found, when I found that email trail, the first opportunity I got when I was in Parliament, and this was debating the Mental Health Act, the leader of the opposition made the allegation again, I could not sit there knowing. Okay. The first opportunity you get wasn't you're taking the opportunity, because the first opportunity you would have gotten when you were in the House of Assembly would have been when the Speaker of the House says communication by ministers, and a minister could get up and say, Mr. Speaker, I have a communication. I would like to correct the records on the blah, 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 blah. That's very important. But it seemed in the way Mr. Sayer and the leader of the opposition made an allegation about this matter again, and then he got up to respond. That's not taking the first opportunity you got. That's reacting to an allegation made against you. How much better would it have looked if the minister had gotten up and said, Mr. Speaker, I wish to correct the records of the House, and then not have to be told something alleged against me. So I do not support the narrative that the minister put in this way, but again, in the spirit of political partisan spin, okay, that's what you want to do, no problema. I understand. But I don't think the Guardian was lying at all, and the minister used words lie. That's what he said. He said they wouldn't want to let the facts get in the way, the truth get in the way of a good story. And see, let me tell you something, right? On these shows in the media, you have to be very careful not to allege that a minister lied, a member of parliament lied, or a public figure lied. That's a very serious matter for any one of us. And even if I am not the person who you might be saying lied, I am a part of an organization in terms of the full thrust of that organization, which if you ascribe to that organization lying, then we all can be brushed with that same brush. But where is the lie? Where was the lie? Where is the lie? Right? I just... I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem, just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller. until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
Marsh the car. The lady run into me, marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today .com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
And gentlemen to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call on the show, the numbers to do so are as follow. You can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316. 325-4316 or 325-42. So text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-2043. So, when I took before the break, I was saying that I was asking the question, what is the lie? If the assertion is the Guardian says that Alfred Sayers, the Minister of Public Works, never mentioned the emails in the House of Assembly, but merely talked about listening to the financial secretary or speaking with the financial secretary, then it would be an easy matter to confirm, easy matter to confirm that the Guardian is in fact lying. How do you do that? There's a hazard. Hansard, right? H-A-N-S-A-R-D. This is the public record of the deliberations in the House of Assembly. A person can request a copy of the Hansard. So you go make a request of the speaker, and the speaker can have the clerk of the House go to the record. So what you'll ask for is that exchange between Mr. Pintard and the minister says about this issue, and the Hansard would reflect Mr. Sayers saying, as he alleges in his press conference, when Mr. Pintard alleged that I had misled the House again, I got up, and then you would have the words he said where he said, I looked at my emails, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That would be easy. That record would be easy. So what I'm going to do, now let me tell you all, I have several sources that suggest to me that that did not happen. I wasn't there. I am going to request the record for myself. And when I get it, I will read it on air. And then we can see, because if at any point Minister says, put this to the House of Assembly, it would be an easy, but the Guardian alleges. That'd be easy. And listen to me, man, if a minister goes and asks them to give the record, get the House's, the hands in on this matter, they get that in a minute. So I'm going to make an effort to get it, because it is not an easy thing to call people liar. It's not. It's not something to be taken lightly, right? It is something for which people can be sued, right? And the only defense against a suit of libel is the truth. The only defense, right? So anyway, that's that. So then Mr. Mitchell then spoke to the issue of the hedge. He said the hedge wasn't worth the paper it was written on. Now, let me tell you what a lawyer told me some time ago. A lawyer said to me, Shivago, when you start an argument, when you go to court and you give an argument, you always lead with your strongest point. That's what he said. Y'all recall that I always say to you that when people are making a list of things that are in support of their effort, they always start a list. You'll see them stretching and stretching and dwindling down the things that you say, ah, yeah, that ain't no argument at all. If Mr. Mitchell is correct, if he's correct, why in the world would not the Prime Minister and Minister of Finance, the Minister of Public Works, Minister Halkidis, or any one of them have said from the beginning, listen, man, that hedge program wasn't worth squat. Wasn't worth squat, and here's the reason why. If we executed the hedge, this would have happened. And the savings would have been this. That's worth nothing. That's the first thing. Why would not that have been a part of the argument from the beginning? It had been a strong argument, a very strong argument. This ain't worth squat. Why it ain't worth squat? Because the savings from it ain't no millions, ain't no hundreds of thousands. It's pittance. That would shut the mouths of the opposition and every other soul running around here talking about the hedge. I can't believe Dr. Donovan Moxie, a brilliant young Bahamian, and all of his, all of Mr. Hasty and them and the IDB been running around selling the Commonwealth of the Bahamas a program in which the paper is written on? Seriously? Dr. Moxie, are you serious? Forget Dr. Minnis and Pintard and them. They politicians. Seriously, Dr. Moxie? You and the board, former board of BPL, and the former CEO of BPL, and the Inter-American Development Bank experts who helped you forge the hedge program. Y'all have been running around this country popping up, executing trades on something, wait, the paper it is written on? My God, what kind of country do we live in? That is pathetic. Really, that's what y'all did? And that would not have been the leading argument. Say, listen, when asked about executing the trade in October of 2021, in November 2021, the government of the Bahamas said, listen, we looked at the hedge program. It's not worth the paper it's written on. Why? The benefits to be had from it, not worth the effort. here's what we knew. If we did the hedge, we would have paid this price for the fuel. And that was like, let's say the price was $12. And it would have saved us 1 cent. 1 cent. But look at what all we would have to do. We'd have to fund the hedge, and we would have had to finance the hedge, and there would have been interest payments on the hedge, and all of that would have been for us absolutely not worth it. How could you not end an argument with that kind of rationale and logic? Would have been easy. But this is now coming out only after the leader of the opposition and them calling for the resignation of the minister, only after the press has been asking questions over and repeatedly about the matter, as they ought to do, as they ought to do. Listen to me, let's suppose the shoe was on the other foot. Is there anybody who would have believed the press shouldn't have been doing their job? Come on, man. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host, after the news.
Take a stand.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers to do so are as follow. You can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 4393043. So we've been talking about Minister Mitchell's comments as chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party about the calls by the opposition for Mr. Sayers to resign. Mr. Mitchell believes that the Guardian and others are doing the work of the leader of the opposition and the FNM by its querying, questioning matters around this fuel hedging matter. I can tell you, I'm not doing any bidding for anybody. I don't believe in any way that anybody at the Guardian is doing any such bidding at all. I do not believe. I have no evidence. See nothing that could tell me that is the case. And then we were talking about Mr. Mitchell's claim that the fuel hedge wasn't worth the paper this was written on. I have to tell you, I go back and talk to the people who would know about these things, whether that is true or not. I really would. I don't believe that the information you are getting about that is accurate at all. See, a hedge isn't that complicated. A hedge isn't that complicated. This is how a hedge works. If I believe that the price of something that I consume is going to go up, I can purchase future quantities of that at a particular price today. So let's say I purchase a lot of cement. And I believe that cement on the market is going to go up from 50 dollars a bag to $100 a bag because of the circumstances in the world. What I might do then is say, you know what? I go on the market and I'm buying some futures and I'm going to purchase X amount of cement for, let's say, $55. That's what they're willing to sell it to me for. So that when I have to purchase that later down the road, when it's $75 and $85, I'm saving $20+ on that expenditure because I bought into the future at a lower price, a price lower than the price that is existing in the future. That's the hedge, right? Now, if in fact the price of that cement goes down to $40, I'm still paying $55 for something I could have bought for $40 into the future. But I hedged against any increase because things didn't work out like I wanted. Why am I even mentioning the example of where the price actually falls? Because let me tell you something. If you see, let me tell you something, just to be clear. If you see that hedge did not save BPL any money, and the government, the new administration came in after the old administration, anyone at BPL under the new administration would have said to you, the members of the public today, let me show you how BPL lost money on this hedge. Or they would have said, let me show you how BPL really didn't even save any money on this hedge. Anyone who is listening to me right now, do you have any record of anyone within the government or BPL confirming that BPL lost money from the hedge or did not benefit from the hedge at all? Please provide me with that evidence if you have it. Because that's an easy, listen to me, man. When you have been in politics, as some of us have been, you know how the game is played. If you can undermine your opponent's argument with evidence of something that refutes their claim, you do that right away. That's easy peasy business. That's easy fruit to pick. Where's the evidence? Just all you do is say, listen, you remember all of the bragging minutes and them do about the hedge? Look at these numbers. BPL lost money on the hedge. BPL didn't even benefit from the hedge. They just show the numbers. And we all get to say, man, my God. But no such thing happened. And there's a good reason for that. Because the hedge worked. That's why. It worked. It absolutely worked. In fact, all of this arguing you are hearing today is evidence that the hedge was working and the failure to execute the hedge cost BPL and the Bahamian public monies that might not have been costed to us because the hedge wasn't executed. That's why the argument is happening the way it's happening today. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Minister Lang. I see you're doing well, getting it off your chest.
No. You are not going to undermine what I'm saying that way. I'm not getting anything off my chest, my friend.
Oh, no. I just thought somebody hurt your feelings. Put them up.
Listen. Let me tell you something. I'm not stupid, and I'm not going to allow any very serious discussion I'm having. Thank you. Have a great day. I am not a stupid man. I'm not getting any off my chest. Nobody hurt my feelings. This is Ashim Shivago Lang who talks to you every single day. Some days you like how I say it. Some days you don't like how I say it. Sometimes them days you like what I say. Some days you don't like what I say. But I'm not going to permit you to undermine what I'm saying with that kind of nonsense today. I'm sorry. All right? So the hedge would have, if the hedge had not worked, had not yielded results, it would have been, I think, an easy thing for the government to have verified and said so and so. Okay? I certainly believe if the hedge was so ineffective, the IDB would have a black eye on the matter because, you know, it really was a something that they partnered with the government BPL to do. But let me also say, beyond Minister Mitchell, it is reported in The Guardian that someone in the Ministry of Finance, and as I read the story, it did not name the source in The Guardian. But the source in the Ministry of Finance said that the reason the hedge was not agreed back in October of 2021 was because the government could not afford it. Could not afford it. And when I read that, I said, why was it curious to me? It was curious to me because, one, the person in the Ministry of Finance did not want to say who they were. But why? Why? If not being able to afford a hedge was in fact the reason for not doing it, that is a great reason not to do it. Like, why wouldn't you say that up front? First there was, it didn't have the support of the financial secretary. Then it wasn't worth the paper it was written on. And now it wasn't affordable. Listen to me, if when the new administration came into office, examined the hedge and said, listen, the executing this hedge is not affordable. Why, other than you asking, well, why isn't it affordable? They could say, well, because if we do it this way, it's going to cost the government this, and therefore, blah, 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 blah. How could you argue with that? That's good policy. You can't afford something. You can't afford something. You can't argue with non-affordability. You know, that's like you go to rent an apartment. People take the apartment is $1,800, and you say, "Well, I can't afford $1,800, and that's why I walked away from it." It's sensible. You can't afford it. But what did that mean? What does it mean that the government could not have fostered the hedge program? The hedge program was being funded out of an IDB facility utilized by the government. So the IDB had a loan facility that the government executed. And so long as there was space in that facility, meaning that there was some credit to be had by the government left, once the hedge was executed, it was executed out of that facility. So this wasn't as if the government was going into the consolidated fund and cutting a check to BPL to do anything. Whatever cost, as I understand it, from the hedging facility were being exacted, inclusive of the IDB's fees for facilitating the hedge. The IDB was facilitating the hedge, and therefore, as a part of its service, it got a fee that would not have been market rate fees, and that's one of the benefits that the Bahamas government gets from utilizing the IDB, is that it can get some better fees than it would ordinarily get on the straight market doing some things, because it is a multilateral institution of which the Bahamas is a member, and therefore seeking to benefit from the developmental thrust of the IDB. So whatever charges, fees, and other things that would accrue from the hedge were billed to BPL. And because this was a part of the fuel surcharge, the fuel charge, BPL got to pass that on to the consumers. And so it didn't have to cost the government anything. That's what the fuel surcharge is. All the hedge did was permit BPL not to charge consumers more for fuel surcharge than they would have had to charge had they not had the benefit of purchasing fuel in advance at a price lower than the higher price that would have emerged in the future. Okay, now, is it not affordable? Well, the fuel that BPL was purchasing was fuel it had to use anyways. It wasn't that they didn't have to purchase this fuel. It would have had to purchase this fuel anyways. The difference is it gets to purchase it at a lower cost than a cost if it simply relied on the vagaries of the market going forward. So what does affordability mean? What do you mean the government couldn't afford it? Then the suggestion was, well, the affordability had to do with BPL making a decision whether to maintain its engines or execute the hedge. But well, first of all, was the government's IDB facility available to go and fund and finance its maintenance? Is that true? Not a possible chance. So affordability in terms of a trade between buying fuel at a lower cost and maintaining your machinery, that doesn't even arise because they were being funded from different sources. The funding for BPL's maintenance was out of the revenues, I assume, but it couldn't have been from IDB, a government facility that the IDB arranged for the government expressly for the hedge. The only way it could be unaffordable is if there was no credit space at the end IDB facility for the hedge. And so that's a question. How much credit was available in the facility to execute the hedge? You could ask that question. But to suggest that this was a trade-off between maintenance and the hedge, no, I don't buy that. I'm sorry, I don't see that. Okay, we have some text here. This text says, hi, Mr. Lang. Who knows what is right? Gets what you are saying. As long as you speak what you know to be the truth and not speaking from a place of malice, your heart is clean. Keep up the good work. Yeah, no, malice. No, man, I don't have time for malice with that, with no anyone. I wouldn't even burden my heart that way. Don't make no sense to do. Okay, so this text says, please tell Candia. Okay, sorry. Please tell, concentrate, stay focused. Don't worry about the chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party. Some people would say anything, but a mode upside down Fred needs to kill. What? This text says, no, I don't think he should resign on that point because it was the Ministry of Finance who didn't follow through on the approval of the hedge. It cost the Bahamian people $55 million. He didn't get approval to renew pledge. He might have forgotten about the email, but the fact remains the hedge was not approved. Well, yes, I hear you, but the reason the opposition was calling for his resignation was not because he didn't do the hedge. That's not the hedge, it's not the issue. The government could decide whether it wants to do the hedge or don't do the hedge, whatever the reason. He was being asked to resign because the opposition alleges that he misled parliament, and misleading parliament is grounds for resignation. Now, that's what the opposition alleges. You don't have to believe that, and if the prime minister don't believe it, he ain't gonna resign no how. Right? This text says, did he show proof of claim that he sent message to permanent secretary, because plenty talk with no evidence. I didn't see anything along those lines, no. This text is all I know, my brother. It's all because of the decision made by Minister Alfred Sayers, Prime Minister Davis, Minister of Finance, and the Financial Secretary. These guys are the reasons why our electricity is so high, especially in the Christmas. Well, that's the argument for sure. It says, thanks, Mr. Lang, for bringing clarity to the matter. Does the Financial Secretary have the power to make these types of decisions on behalf of the country, like Mr. Sayers said? If so, I appreciate why he was put on leave by the previous administration. He does not have the power to do that without the consent of the policy directors. He does not. I do not blame the Financial Secretary for this. I do not blame him. He gave advice. The government made the decision, period. Okay? This is not on the Financial Secretary. He is a tester to the government. That's its job. And he has a right to have a view and a perspective on anything that he wants to have a view and perspective on. The government could take that advice or not take it. But at the end of the day, if a decision is made by the government, it's not made by the permanent secretary, it's not made by the deputy permanent secretary, it's not made by the director, it's not made by the financial secretary, it's made by the government of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. That's the cabinet of the Bahamas, period. Period. And I should not allow nor permit, without saying something, any such notion to be carried about our technical offices and bureaucracy. If they make decisions that they ought not to have made and nobody lets their heads roll, then you assume responsibility for it, period. This text says a 163% increase to my BPL fuel is scary and should be a fireable offense. Okey-dokey. This text says, Mr. Lang, the financial secretary said in an interview that they had concerns about the hedging program at BPL because it came with a bill. So not only the government regretted, the financial secretary didn't see it as a road the government should go down. Well, we already know that the financial secretary was not in support. But every program comes with a bill, though. You go and borrow money from a Prudential, you go and borrow money from a Bank of America, you go and borrow money. This is the government I'm talking about now. It comes with a bill. That's the bill is called the interest on the interest payment on the loan. So what's new? The IDB extends to you a hedge fund. Hedge programs have a fee. The question is the fee more costly than the savings you will get? That's the question. The question of it can cost the government something. And in this instance, it didn't cost the government anything because in the end, it was whatever the fee was for the hedge, it was a part of the fuel surcharge cost. And that surcharge cost was passed on to you, the consumer, not the government, not the public treasury, not the consolidated fund. Right? So again, I just think that this untidy affair keeps getting life because no one wants to tell a story to end this story. And why I'm not entirely sure, at this point, listen to me. The leader of the opposition could call for the resignation of Mr. Sayers all he wants. A call for resignation can produce nothing, saving and except that the public pressure becomes so great as a consequence of that call that a prime minister feels duty-bound or a minister feels duty-bound to respond. So it doesn't matter if the Guardian calls for resignation, if the Tribune calls for resignation, if the leader of the opposition calls for resignation. It don't matter if the prime minister, if the minister does not himself resign, or if the prime minister does not require his resignation, then that's the end of that. End of it. So if that then is the case, at this point now, all that is left to do is can we find a way to end this story? End the story. Just end it. Okay, listen. This is my last statement on the matter. We were not to execute the hedge. It would appear that that may have been ill-advised. We could have gained something from it. Probably not as much as some people think, but we probably could have. But it is now done. It is now done. And now we must move on to determining what more we must do to ensure better electricity rates, more reliable electricity service in the country, and a sustainable path for power production in the country for BPL and the government. That's it. Now, if you want to continue to ask questions, talk about that's on you. Carry on. For me, I'm done. Right? But these dribblings of defenses that's coming forward, they're not helpful. I don't think. They don't appear to be helpful to me. So please help me understand, should the government go against the financial secretary's advice? Man, happens all the time. All the time. I'm glad you asked that question, though. Listen to me, man. Listen to me. Please. The financial secretary is a technical advisor to the government on financial matters. He has a view, perspective, expertise, but he is not infallible, and nor is his judgments always seized of all the dimensions of a decision that have to be made. When you are the government of the Bahamas, you don't just take account of financial matters, economic matters. That's the job of the financial secretary. He's not supposed to be aware or thinking about politics. He's not supposed to be thinking about how this affects the PLP, affecting purely in terms of how to secure for the government of the Bahamas revenues to meet expenses, how to ensure that expenses are paid out in accordance with the parliament's approval, to ensure that the terms of the government's financing and those kinds of things are appropriate. That's his job, pure fiscal management, pure fiscal guidance. But just because he gives a pure fiscal guidance, that guidance might call for taxing the public more. But the government, the political directorate, get to think, okay, yeah, but why would I want to be taxing people at this particular time given these set of circumstances? Yes, that would increase my revenue, but the implications of that for this group and that group, that's the politician's job. So many times, you can have a difference of views between the financial secretary and the political directorate. When Ruth Miller was financial secretary, she and Mr. Ingram, who was minister of finance, disagreed. She and Sir William Allen disagreed. So that's not new. So you don't have to take any advice from anybody. It's called advice for a reason, not directives. Do you see? There's nowhere in the law that requires a minister to take directions from any officer. Nowhere in the law does it require it. So yes, the answer to your question is, yes, the government can not take the advice of the financial secretary. And I assure you, it has any number of times over the course of our history. Any number of times. Ain't nothing new, and ain't never going to be anything new. That's standard. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. If the financial secretary did not... Is that the final decision of the government, or could this have been challenged by the minister? I just spoke to that. If the financial secretary recommendation became the final decision, then it tells me that the minister was in agreement and should not seem as it was the FS who made the decision on his own and the government was not involved. What do you say? Again, I say, listen, man, I don't care. If a decision is made in the government of the Bahamas, the decision was made by the government of the Bahamas, not a permanent secretary, not a financial secretary, no one. If a decision is made in the government of the Bahamas, it was made by the government of the Bahamas, meaning by the prime minister and his colleagues. That's the end of it. Have you ever heard during an election campaign, we are the ones who reduced the unemployment rate by 10%. With the advice of the financial secretary. We are the ones who paved all the roads in Nassau with the advice of the permanent secretary at the Ministry of Public Works. We are the ones who built houses with the advice of the director of housing. We are the ones. You never hear that. Never hear that. How come you can hear that? How come you can't hear that when things go good? But when things go bad, you could hear, yeah, it was the permanent secretary. Oh, it was the financial secretary. Come on, man. Y'all know better than that. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivaga Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break. I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Zoom was just a sound effect, when your living room wasn't your gym, when a cough didn't scare people away, that was the good old days. And thankfully, they are coming back. As things return to normal, remember, it is essential to be fully immunized against all vaccine-preventable diseases like COVID-19, diphtheria, tetanus, measles, and influenza. This message is brought to you by PAHO WHO, the Ministry of Health and Wellness, the Caribbean Development Bank, the Government of Canada, and the United States of America.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to do so on any of the following numbers. You can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can on 439-3043. Oh, boy. Let me tell you all what I find so funny, right? We're on these shows. We're here on these shows. We're hosting these shows. And, you know, I get up in the mornings or sometimes in the evenings and I'm thinking, okay, I got 2 hours to go and talk to the Bahamian public on Guardian Radio. What am I going to talk about today? And I think about a couple of things I want to be about. I want to be relevant. So meaning, does what I have to say interest the people that I am going to be talking to? And then impact, will it have a result for them, like in education or empowerment or something like that, right? But while you're doing that, you have people who are sitting on the sideline. They love the PLP. They hate the FNM, or they love the FNM. They hate the PLP, or they hate both the FNM and the PLP, and they love the DNA or COI or something. And like your words are being parsed in terms of their love and hate of any political party, right? And if you're not careful, you know, you're trying to like walk this thin line so that you don't end up with people worrying about whether you're doing somebody's bidding or not. The only way to do this job, right, is just sit there with all the lines. Took your view, your observation, and carry on. You have a call on the line, go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Hey, good day, Mr. Lang.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you. And I'm enjoying being educated on this topic, because you know I have a question I want to ask you.
Sure.
Under Prime Minister Ingram, I asked you that because you worked with him. How do you see this playing out for Fed Minister?
In the first instance where he would have thought a misrepresentation was made, he would have pulled him in to his office and they would have had a conversation, and the next time both of them spoke, they would have been on the same page.
Exactly. I assumed as much, but I just wanted you to say so the public could see it in a different view. Because I feel like things are being done and each has their own opinion and they just come out and spoke whatever, come out their mouth, and there's no one being on accord. Everybody have a different view. You know, I understand that Mr. Mitchell have to, you know, toot his horn for his peoples, but come on now, if you see something wrong, or you see like something wasn't quite right, might not be wrong, but not quite right, and I love this minister say it, you know, but not quite right, you know, be truthful with it. You know, these are times when you need to stop trying to pull the country politically divided, you know, pull us together. You know, I say, you know what, we feel like this was a misspoke on the minister's behalf, and, you know, he came back and he said so much, and, you know, this is where the, and then the prime minister stand up and say something. I mean, if he can ever be home long enough, but the point is, you know, try to pull us together. Stop trying to make everything seem so politically divided. You know, this is an opportunity for the PLP to work, to pull us together.
Well, I think you're right about, you know, certainly in leadership, you try to pull people together. But we know that also in a politically charged environment, you're going to have sides and so forth. That's not even the issue. You can have sides. But what you don't want to do is take, for instance, The Guardian. I don't think there's anyone who will deny that The Guardian's holding the feet of the government to the fire was a hellstorm for the minister administration.
Yes, it was.
Okay, let's be real now. I mean, let's be real. Whether it was myself or Candia or Juan McCartney or others or Dwight and them. I mean, everyone where observations were made about missteps and faux pas and what have you were down their throats. Nobody heard the PLP at the time saying, why is The Guardian being unfair to the FNM? Why is The Guardian coming down on Minister Wei? Nobody. I think they cherished it. And why wouldn't they?
It worked in their favor.
In their favor, exactly. Now, you're the government, and someone could make the observation that now that The Guardian is doing the same thing it did when Dr. Minister was in office, probably even not with the same intensity, But in any event, doing the same level of scrutiny and critique and what have you, that someone could suggest that you are now doing the bidding of the opposition, that kind of thing is now pitting us against each other, as opposed to making an observation based on facts.
Exactly. So something like that, Minister Mitchell should have saved that for when he gets inside their headquarters and say that to his people there, but not come on the air and try to make it seem like the ornament. No, we all see it so far, and had the minister stop Mr. Pintard right there and then say, hold on, let me backtrack before I open my mouth and say something I'm not sure of. But because in my view, if he is forgetting something that's important to the country like that, I don't know what else he could forget coming on in the future. But I think he really should, in my view, resign, because he may have something, you know, coming on with, you know, losing his memory from time to time. And, you know, so I feel like they should look at it from that perspective also. Like I say, well, I love the chairman.
Well, the thing about it is I don't think Mr. Mitchell even had to go to his own insiders to say what he had to say about the media, because Candia, Juan McCartney, and myself have fielded calls from all kinds of people who have had concerns about what we might or might not have said. We're not petty about it. You know, we're not thin skins. We listen, and sometimes you say, I don't agree, or, you know, we'll look at it again. I know that to have been the case. I know Candia has had calls made to her by people who have said, you know, I heard Shivago say certain such and such, and she may call me and she says, Shivago, you know, I didn't listen to the show today, but I'm going to get it to see if whether you said X, Y, and Z, and then she'll call me back and she says, no, I didn't see that you said anything out of the way. Because we're trying to protect the reputation and integrity of the student, the station. So we don't have the luxury of lying and carrying water for people.
Exactly. So I feel like there's supposed to be a workable moment where we can try to, you know, where you see something that's not quite right, then say so. You know, but don't try to make it look like some, you know, like we're the bad wolf, try to eat a little poor sheep or something of that sort. That's not fair to the Bahamian people. The truth right. is what's fair to the Bahamian people.
Yeah. I appreciate you calling. Thank you so much. All right. Juan even admitted he voted for the PLP. I heard him. I mean, it's like so we don't, you know, no, I don't. I see fairness here. If I really detected any amount of bias here, I would say so. I would definitely say, yeah, some of these folks, they got leaning this way now. Tell, right? I would say so, but I don't think so. I don't think that. That's not my observation at all. Anyway, we're going to take our final break, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem, just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. So glad that you could join us here today. So this text here says, Mr. Lang, again, I have to disagree with you. What's new? Says the Guardian goes light on the FNM. The difference is us, the people, now realize what it is. So we dismiss the unbalanced reporting. Those morning show is all about anything negative with the government. Please listen to any of the morning show and tell me where anything positive was discussed in length by the host. You and Juan show is education, so you all get different listeners. Actually, if you listen to most talk shows in the world, unless the government's sponsoring the show is negative talk. You listen to Morning Joe and hear them bragging positively about somebody? Is that what you hear all the time? Really? Same thing for Fox News? Come on, please. Governments know. When it comes to talk shows, like, first of all, bro, just so you know, negative news is what y'all want to hear more than anything else. Only if you're a political insider for the government, you want to hear positive news for the government. But most people know that's why the expression in media and broadcasting is, if it bleeds, it leads. Why? Because human beings have a natural inclination to want to hear something that they believe might be a threat to themselves. So that ain't nothing new. So I don't blame that on going light on the air. I mean, the government today, when Dennis was in office, he get licks upside his head, left, right, and center. When the FNM was in office, left, right, and center. That's why they lose in the end. That's what happens. When I was in office, we got licks upside our head, left, right, and center from these radio shows. Left, right, and center. When Christie came to office, he get it left, right, and center. That's what happens. When you're the government, ain't nobody there to toot your horn. People are looking for your errors, your mistakes, and what you did wrong. If you want somebody to go toot your horn, you got to do it yourself. That's why Minister Mitchell does it, because he knows he has to do it. He's not going to get any freebie from anybody. So I don't agree with you at all. Keep disagreeing with me. You live in an alternate universe. If you ever believe that you're going to go on any set of talk shows anywhere in the world and hear anybody other than a talk show that's centrally controlled by the government talking positively about the government all day, it doesn't happen. Absolute nonsense. Absolute nonsense. It's not going to happen, and it does not happen. All right? That's just the breaks. When you're the government, you're the target. When you're the government, you're the object. If you do something grand, people will talk about it. If you do, right? But again, as I read you, right? Let me tell you. So I'm not calling your name, but when I read the government, I could tell that. I could tell that. I read your text over and repeatedly, and you are a defender of the government. And so you have a sensitivity to that. Now you can be balanced. I accept that you can be balanced, and you can provide some commentary that's very sensible, but you do have a bias toward the government, right? And so why is that? Because your talk is more positive toward the government. So just because you lean that way doesn't mean someone couldn't hear you and say, yeah, but he says something sensible. That was sensible, something he said, right? But you are, you know, and I don't blame people for being where they are. If you're PLD, be PLP and proud. If you're FNM, be FNM and proud. If you're DNA, be DNA and proud. But do not allow your bias to cover your eyes in such a way that you cannot see the truth. You cannot see facts when it's presented. You cannot hear a logical argument when it's given. Because all that means is that you're going to be wearing rose-colored glasses, or you're going to be wearing dark shades in the light of day when you don't really need that much shade, and allow and distort the way you see the world. Listen, man, listen, first of all, you have to, I'm going to stop writing because I'm not reading any more of your stuff. I mean, really, honestly, there are other people writing. I can't read any more of your stuff, but you can write them if you want. But, you know, do your job, man. You keep promoting your party. I can't begrudge you for doing that, but I don't have to help you do it, right? Because that's not my job, not to help the PLP. And I want y'all to know that I have a great affection for the FNM. I have always had a great affection for the FNM, right? For decades, from I was 18 years old, I had an affection for the FNM. Born of my relationship, my mother had with the FNM, and my mother had with FNM leadership, like Successor Wallace Whitfield and those, right? So I have to go against the grain to argue against the FNM when I do so, to criticize the FNM when I do so. I was, for God's sake, an FNM member of parliament and cabinet minister, and so none of y'all can ever get me to hate the FNM, to feel bad about the FNM. You're not going to get me to do that. Will you get me to acknowledge mistakes made by the FNM? Will you get me to acknowledge mistakes made by ourselves in office? Absolutely, you'll get me to do that. Will you get me to criticize an FNM leader and so forth? Yes. I was very critical of Dr. Hubert Minnis, very critical, before he became prime minister and after. he told me one day people told him I was against him. He didn't need people to tell him that. I wasn't against him. I just didn't support the way he governed and led. Did not. And he didn't support me either. while we were in office, he didn't support me. I ain't hitting on him for it. He's a man. He got free choice. He don't like me. He don't like what I stand for. He don't like how I operate. That's right. And it was mine too, right? But it takes something to go for me to criticize the FNM. It also takes something for me, my natural and long-standing commitment to the FNM to be complimentary of the PLT, but I can be of its leader, Mr. Prime Minister Davis. Oh, I'm not like some of you all say he's not my prime minister. He is my prime minister. And the PLT government is my government. Yes, it's our government. Absolutely. The Minister administration, when it was in office, was our government. And Prime Minister Davis is my prime minister. And if I go abroad, I'll speak glowingly of him and that country and what we're doing and trying to do. I'd save my criticism of him for when I come home. Right? He's my prime minister. I wish him well. I wish them all well. Mr. Sayers, Mr. Mitchell, all of them. Some of them I love to death. Glenys Anna Martin, love her. Love her spirit, love her energy, love her seriousness and commitment, love her. Yes, sir. No question about it. Love many of them. Their spirit and their willingness and wantingness to do the task they have. Respect many. And I can say that, being even a person who has a leaning in another direction. Love Michael Pintard. Dear friend, Michael Pintard, even when I criticize the Free National Movement, Michael Pintard's daughter is my goddaughter. Michael Pintard and I have been friends a very long time. Love him. Y'all ain't get me to stop doing that. But I am not so enamored by, or I'm so biased about anything that I could put these biases. Y'all have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. God spares life. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host.
Way. So starting today, I'm breaking.